This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kick-off, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's a goal! What a goal! It's absolutely world-class from Marcus Tudge!
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flynn wins the goal!
It's
the
goal! It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Yes!
Oh, my God!
The Wednesday Week!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Owls Alumni. Apologies about the girlish giggling in the background because he's already started. Tonight joining us is ex-Sheffield Wednesday, Brighton, Wickham, Darlington. I think you played for everybody, Stocko. It's Mr. David Stockdale joining us this evening. How's it going, Paul? You all right?
I was just waiting for you to name all 17 then.
Well, do you know what? Right, I've got it in front of me. I've got York, Wakefield, Worksop, Darlington, Fulham, Rotherham, Leicester, Plymouth, Ipswich, Hull, Brighton, Birmingham, Southend, Wickham, Coventry, Wickham again, Stevenage, Sheffield Wednesday, and York City. Is that them all? Did I miss any?
Who knows?
Ah, Christ knows, I weren't paying attention myself. I was just, have I not? And local job centre and probably Prison FC upcoming.
Whoa! It's when people say, who was your inspiration growing up? And I said, the Monk. I just got stuck.
The Monk. Those of a certain age will understand that reference. So yeah. I tell you what, let me introduce you to the gang, Stocko. We've got Stevie and Holly, all Sheffield Wednesday fans, although Holly is from the West Country, so my apologies in advance. Not West Country, West Yorkshire Country. Apologies in advance for a terrible accent. So, you two are kinsmen, as it were, I assume, with the accent that you've got. So Stevie and I are going to be on the outskirts. So Stevie, I'll let you kick the questions off, bro. You crack on, mate, and then we'll try and get to know the Stockmeister General.
Yeah, mate. Obviously, Dan's gone in and sort of gone through your, and we've only got a certain period of time, but he's gone through that sort of illustrious career of yours with 85,000 teams. But I want to sort of start off with you arriving at Sheffield Wednesday, if that's all right. Obviously, the season before you got to Wembley, you made it to the playoff final and had a really successful season, or a relatively successful season with Wickham. What happened to get you from there to here? How did you end up becoming a Sheffield Wednesday player?
It's actually, I think it's a funny story because I went on Akin Fenwa's retirement birthday party to become the only white in Jamaica at that point. This is sorry. There's a very good picture, and Liam Palmer can back me up on that. I decided to go away, but I then became the white unicorn of Jamaica for the week, and that was my nickname. That is a true story. So I actually agreed to sign on at Wickham. No problem, whatever. The secretary went on holiday, and I was like, yeah, no worries, whatever. Like, I'm not actively looking for anything. When my agent rings and says, you might want to take this call. Like, okay, who's ringing me now at this time? Darren Moore. Had a little chat. He was like, I'd like to take you. I was like, right, now I'm in a conundrum. So to be fair, I rang Gareth Ainsworth, told him the like predicament. Obviously, I was travelling from Leeds to... Sorry, I wasn't meant to mention Leeds. Sorry, Holly. to Wickham. All that season. So he just said, look, it's better for you. It's a massive club. We're not going to stand in your way. And they were really good about it. They said, look, it's good for us that a big club's taking players off us. Mm-hmm. So I can't thank him enough, and that's why we still have that relationship. And that was it, really. I went in, signed. Nobody was about apart from the club doctor. So I managed to like tell him that. So I wheeled myself in this wheelchair. And he was like, anything wrong? I said, nothing at all. I said, played all last season, 56 games. He was like, right, sign here. And I went over to see Lindsay. And we actually had a little laugh. We said, oh. So we were talking about the ground. And I said, you know, the corner. I remember when there were seats in the corner. She's like, oh, we can put them in. I said, we'll do it when we win the league here then. So we had a little bet, and it was quite an ongoing thing from there. So that was the thing about it. And we'd actually done a picture, and Akinfenwa will have it somewhere, of all of them stood around me on a Jamaica beachfront next to a jerk chicken shop.
Brilliant. And you've got the worst tan out of the lot of them, I assume, right? Yeah.
Hey, I'm the darkest out of a lot of them.
Yeah, I think you're talking about humour there. But like, do you feel like that the game you had against Sheffield Wednesday, you know, you did some tremendous shithousing on that game, some tremendous time wasting. You had a decent game against us towards the back end of the prior season. Do you feel like that's what put you on Darren Moore's radar?
I'd like to think I did better than just your game, mate. You know what I mean? All right. It must have been watching when I played against Jeff on Wednesday before as well, you know what I mean? Yeah, just basically, you put me down. So basically, you're a one-game wonder. Yeah?
One-game wonder. We just need you for one game. That's it.
You only scouted for that one game.
Amazing.
Out of 56, yeah, that one game got you that move to him.
He wasted about 30 minutes in that game. Let's get him in.
Yeah. he played well for 60 minutes. The rest of you were just laid on floor holding ball.
Yeah, goal kicks, yellow cards, you know. It gives you 30 minutes less to score past me.
Well, I tell you what we did. We opened this art online to try and get some questions across Facebook and Twitter, and I've got like a collection of them. I've got some clumsily enlarged graphics of them here, and one of them does reference the time wasting here. It's from Steve Ellis. He says, what are his thoughts on the abuse he received during some of his time wasting antics, and does he think he should have received more bookings for time wasting?
Well, number one, my main aim was to rile fans up.
Right.
End of story. And second...
Succeeded.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I had some great... And you've got to take the shit, sorry, but you've got to take the shit when it's not going your way. Yeah. That's one thing you got to do. If it's not your time, it's not your time. You're going to get it. And everybody knew what I did. So they, like, it would be the first minute and they're going, whistling and, hurry up, you fat fucker. And I was like... I didn't know if you wanted me to hurry up or lose a bit of weight, so I was like, oh, make your mind up. But it was just one of them things where, like, for me, it was game management. I'll do anything I can within the rules to win a game of football. And I feel like when I came to Sheffield Wednesday, Barry Bannon was like, the manager don't like that. I said, he might not like it, but he'll love it when I finished. And it was like, he didn't like that approach, but he understood it. And right. I think everybody understood it. And like, when I used to go down injured, never once got injured. But in that time in the game, we were under pressure and people are like, right, I understand it now. And I think it was it Bolton we played against?
Yeah, and, with the hand.
Their manager said, if they had it on, it doesn't matter if you had it on. In that part of the game, we're attacking so much. Just the atmosphere and everything was getting on top. He just breaks up for 3 minutes. It's gone. Like, yeah, we can't get it back again. And that's all it is. It's just...
So did you have, like, a level of autonomy then to be able to say, right, when the manager, whether it be Moore or his coaching team or Basso or whoever it is that's sort of there giving out the instructions and the tactics, you have that authority to say, at this point, I'm going to do that. I'm going to manage the game in this way.
I never had the authority. I just did it. And that's like, it's like a thing, like, you don't tell Barry Bannon to go and get on the ball and do something special. Mm-hmm. He feels he knows when he can do it. It's that kind of thing in a very untactical, technical way. Like people look back and go, it worked, that, to be fair. In that moment, we were under pressure. We weren't getting things right. Right, I'll go down for 2 minutes. Manager has a chat. They lose all momentum. My fingers, it's bent anyway. I just used to broke my finger. Ref would go, ooh, yeah, it's bad, that. And permanently. Yeah. But it worked. And
so what you're saying is, go on, H.
There's no way the over 30 players, the players that are over 30, were bothered about you slowing the game down. There's no way.
No,
but they were like, oh, it
does. Because there's different times in the game, and like, Kossi's so eager and he wants to win 5-0, 6-0, he wants to keep it flowing. That's the type of player he is. I remember, we'll have to try and find it, but me and him having an absolute shouting match at Derby away, and Reece James is looking at us going, and we were, when I say, the C-bomb, and it was literally, we walked in at half-time, we put his arm around to each other and was like, yeah, what happened there? Like, and Reece James was like, you two all right? Like, I thought you were going to have a full-blown fight. And we was like, no. And it was that leadership between us that was like, I'd rather him have a go at me, because Barry's very strong opinionate. I can just go, all right, Baz, no worries. And then he'll just go off and do his thing. Other people, it could get on top of or things like that. And that's why I used to come out and say, when I was getting stick or when people were booing, and I like to think that Darren Moore brought me in for the experience of playing in front of big crowds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was basically to go, all right, guys, no worries. Because afterwards, yeah, I could go, yeah, blame me. Then you've got your young players like Fizz and Dennis. Dennis knows me well. I did it at Wickham. I protect those players. Even when I'm not in the team, I'm going up. When Cam saved the penalty, it was I love Cam. I wanted to say well done. But for me, that there, and I said to Cam, I said, this will show him. You know when they say, is there a bit of a thing between them? Is there, this shows the togetherness. And then everyone goes, well, that's good. But that's me anyway. So what it does is everyone like leans on you a little bit. When we're having the rocky stage and we played Cheltenham and Lincoln, the gaffer brought me in and said, I need you to steady the ship, Stocks. Take the shit. Take the shit for the lads. And that's why I went out and did the interview after Cheltenham. That's why I went in, and because it was all about me taking the shit, let everyone regroup. And I didn't want to get dropped, but he said, fuck, you've done the job that I wanted. And it's shit sometimes, and people don't see it, and it's like, oh, but you have to know what your role is best for your team.
That's interesting, because we had a question here that says, well, to know about your presence in the dugout and on the touchline. I think you've just expanded on it there. Do you feel like that's a transition into going into a coaching role? Martin wants to know.
100% not. I don't have the same passion that I see Nicky Weaver coaching. I see... Mm-hmm. When Basso was coaching, now Sal Bibo, I see these people and I have respect for them. They have respect for me. They work really hard. I'm not saying I don't want to work hard, but you know, when you have that passion to work that extra bit, when I was a goalie, I wanted that passion. So if I want to go there, I've got to work there. I don't carry the same passion as coaching. I see it as helping. So when I've got Piers Charles with us or Cam Dawson, I like the bit where I'm training and helping. I don't like, I'm going to have to tell him to shut the fuck up. Listen, you're late, get the fuck in. I'm a people person. Take it. So Basso will say, you're going to have a word with him or whatever. Just calm him. I said, look, relax, I'll deal with him. And it's all about managing people. So Basso was intense. And I thought my body was going to fall to pieces. So one day I went up to him and said, look, I'm going to have a day off here. One day off I had. And he was like, I said, Bass, I love you, but come on. And Cam's like laughing in the background. He said, because you're ancient, that's why. It was that thing of like, he's not taking the piss. He understands they're having a bit of banter. Like, then you say to Darren Moore, and it's like, I need a day off. He went, right, go soak in that bath over there. Like, they understand that, but then they know when you get that little bit of leeway, the next day, right, what do you need from me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just on that, because you've kind of touched on it a little bit there, what I'm jumping forward a little bit. What was your relationship like with Cameron Dawson? Interested, because obviously you've gone in there as like becoming the number one to start the season, and you know, there was that sort of to and fro in, and Cameron Dawson actually ended the season, didn't he, as you know, between the sticks. Yeah. And a lot of the questions that we've had tonight will have been around either coaching or whether or not it's that sort of relationship, that competitiveness. What was your relationship like with him day to day?
Brilliant. Well, the only person that won out of me and Cam was our agent, because we got the same agent. We shared a room on pre-season, so it was hard. Like, we didn't know who was playing. We kind of had a pact together. Like, we'd help each other, whatever shit happens. Like, and I also scored a penalty against him the year before against Exeter, so mm-hmm. we kind of gave him a bit of stick for that. But it was always one of them. It was never a thing like, we knew when you've done crap. You knew when you've done well, and you just. I never once said anything to him when I got dropped, when I came in the team, when I didn't. It was always like, I've been there, Cam. Like, we'd be having a conversation about him pissed off that I'm in. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, we had that relationship. I was like, I know. Just because it's me, I still know how you feel.
Yeah.
Do you feel like he learned something from you in terms of that? Because bear in mind, Cameron Dawson's been at the club for a number of years. And he has seen off a number of people brought in to replace him. And he must see it coming, right? You know, you think he had to share the gloves with Joe Wildsmith. You know what I mean? You came in, Devis Vasquez came in. And he's seen off a number of people that have tried to come in and take that shirt off him. And he's always ended up back in the sticks by the end of the season. So do you feel like having you as a mentor in terms of that mental strength, that's kind of helped him deal with it when it came with Vasquez this season, for example?
I think he's had it before, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure if he's had the, I say, support around him, like that goalkeeper support. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hope that he'd learn some of the things that I'd said. Well, he's a good enough goalkeeper. I know he's a good... And it pains me to say it, but I think he needs to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he's not good enough. I think he needs that fresh start, because he's always going to be one of your own.
Yeah.
You're always harsher on your own kids than the other kids in the playground. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. I agree with you.
It's not me being... I still think he can play this level. I still think he can... Look at what he did at Exeter. New lease of life. To get promoted, he's one of the main men. To then not being the main man, it's tough. But everything he's earned... And look, I say that openly. I'm not telling him that he's not good enough or the club should release him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking on a personal level. I think he should go like Joe Wildsmith did. Find his club, whether that be Exeter or whatever. It could be anyone apart from Sheffield United.
and Leeds.
Yeah, don't worry about
that. So you mentioned chopping and changing it between you and Dawson, and you not knowing until like later on who's actually going to play. But as an individual, how does that affect your mindset going into games if you're not playing consistently every week? Did it affect how you prepared for the games, or did you sort of know who it were going to be?
Look, when you're in the net as such, you kind of get a thing where you're either the team's having a bit of a downfall or you're just low in form. It's easier when there might be a a younger lad that's inexperienced behind you. But when there's someone like Cam, you get a feeling. It's funny in football, you know, when you get that feeling that, oh, could be time. And then it comes. You get to see your experience. Me and Darren had a very honest conversation. Said, let's agree to disagree and get on with it. He was like, fine, shut my hand. There you go. As soon as I leave the room, it's done. I cannot change his mind. And then you have to wait. Because I, as a respect to Cam, he waited. So I'm going to wait. And that's how you build up a trust within the changing room. It starts from the keepers, and then the lads see, like, oh, not that he's not bothered, but he's on at everyone. He's still around the lads. He's like, and I remember Dom Ioff saying, Stocks, if you lose your head, we are fucked. Because it was that resonated with me, because it was a point of, like, I was just having one of them days, like, things didn't go right in training. Right, I've fucking got it all. I was like, if you lose your head, we hope you keep the ship, not me personally together, but I was part of the whole group of, mm-hmm. I would always stand up for the lads. If something needed saying, some awkward needed doing, if someone needs to take the shit, I'll do it. No worries, I've got this, lads.
Yeah.
And that's why you had the microphone bringing everybody on stage at the celebrations after the playoff final.
That might have been why the chairman got me off the civic stage. But I think I've proved myself now. But I actually did some at the presentation. Like, it was weird. Like, me and Cam just said, oh, we're going to do this game with you. You're going to come and talk. I said, hang on, mate. You didn't ask me. So I saw. I took the stage and it just happened that I got the microphone. I said, listen, mate, you're a bit boring. I ended up with the gaffer up, Liam Palmer's wife and a few others playing heads and tails game.
Brilliant.
But it did actually look like it was the S Club 7 doing a dance. Tragedy. I'd pick your fingers and the gaffer went to go ahead and went, tragedy. Well, I knew I weren't playing for the rest of the season from that point.
Yeah, that's you retiring in that moment. Now, you touched upon it earlier, Stocks. Here we've got you're in. I want to talk about, you know, more dressing room. So you're in goal for the Brighton playoff games, and you spoke a bit on it. But what were your thoughts about Hillsborough and that side that year? And then more about coaching and being part of the media. But and then obviously touching into the dressing room of last year. But let's talk about, because you were in goal for those playoff semi-finals where it looked like Sheffield Wednesday were going to leave Brighton in their wake. We were going to go over, we were going to take over the world, and then we got that game against Hull and just got beat. And then Brighton waited a couple of seasons more, and now they're arguably an established Premier League team, and have been for about 5-6 years now. So, you know, how did you feel about Sheffield Wednesday then? Did you, and I'm trying to get into the mind of, in terms of the crowd and the people behind you and stuff like that. I mean, because I can imagine it being quite intimidating, because I think long gone are the days where the opposing goalkeeper comes over and claps the fans, because now they just get a load of abuse. And, you know, you seem to get...
I sit behind the goal.
Yeah, she's on row. That's exactly it. And there's a lot of videos of her doing that, Stocks, as well. You know what I mean? So tell us about those playoffs anyway. Tell us about how it played out for you. Because
there's still one club where it's an unwritten rule that you clap to the home fans.
Mm-hmm.
Anfield. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you get respected. I know we're going off topic, but I remember playing there and Eddie Nidzwicki said to me, Stocks, when you go out, you got to clap the fans. And I went, sure. Like, he's like, I'm telling you now, if you don't listen to me, you're going to get pelters. When I seen pelters, you're getting it. So I was thinking, oh my God, is he setting me up here? One of the biggest games of my career. Anyway, I did it, got clapped, never said a word to me all game. Mm-hmm. He was like respecting. And if you didn't know, it's like, you wouldn't know because you're not a goalie, but... Anyway, yeah, so no.
I'd boo you either way, whether you clapped or not. I'd just boo you.
She's like that.
Well, I'm glad you're not a Liverpool fan then. I always look, I've always grown up knowing Sheffield Wednesday was a big club. I was a Kevin Pressman fan because I might have been on the bigger scale as a goalkeeper, let's just say, and the penalty.
It was the unflattering shirts of the time, I think. It won't KP.
Have you not seen me in a Kappa shirt, by the way?
I tell you what we did see, Stocks. When we announced a kit that season and you were chosen as one of the models to model the kit that season. They stood you next to Cam Dawson, who's 6'3", like a beanpole and jacked. And then and then it's like, yeah, Chubb's good, stand next to him and sell these shirts for us. Like, stitched up there.
Is he? I was like... All right, Photoshop. The worst thing is, I was like, right, so have you got an extra, like, I brought mediums and larges. I was like, what? Put me in the boxing gym where everyone gets fucking fit. Tell me to jump over the fucking thing and then put me next to fucking Tariq and fucking people. Dawson. But the thing is, you've got to be able to back yourself. And that's a separate issue where I've also known that I've had to be better in certain areas because of... It's one of them things where you get asked, like, do you think you'd be better if you were thinner? I said, do you think I'd be worse if I was fatter?
It's a good way of putting it, because you look at the players that, you know, I grew up with, like Neville Southall, Nigel Martin weren't exactly...
Andy
Gorham, right? He was a big stag. Like, you know... And when he's bearing down on you, you don't want to get in his way. You know what I mean? And then Schmeichel turns up with his bloody flat top.
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah,
ruined it.
Do you know what? The thing is, though, I think we had this on the podcast last year where it came up, or I've heard you talking about this. You're not actually in bad shape. Do you know what I mean? The irony is.
I'm telling all the others, will you fucking stop running and doing shit like that? Because it makes me look bad. I'm doing all right here. Like, when I retire, I'll be like, look at him, he's all right, you know.
Yeah.
I go with other dad bods. Just be stood on beach like, all right, mate. Like, I look all right, but compared to these athletes, you know. And that's football's football. Like, you know, everyone's going to have an opinion. Everyone's going to say you should do something better. But if I did all the things that I was meant to do better, I don't think I'd have been at the clubs that I was at. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've had some good memories, and it's all about... I was just telling my son, we'd just come back from football training, that's why I was a bit late, and the coach was saying, it don't matter who passes to who or who scores a goal, you can win the league tomorrow, guys. Like, would you rather win the league or get first for one goal? And it was just... one of them things. It's like, whatever we have to do to get promoted.
Mm-hmm. Which, just on that, that kind of brings me back to the next sort of thread that I'd like to pull out, if that's all right. You've come in, you've signed, Moore's got you in, everything's sort of in your favour in terms of leaving Wickham and coming to Sheffield Wednesday. As you've come in at the start of pre-season last season, was there a message, a consistent sort of approach from the coaching staff to say, right, this is where we need to be this season? Did Darren Moore say to you, right, we're going to win the league, or the target is winning the league, or was it promotion, or was it just getting up, or what was the expectation amongst the players at the start of last season?
I'll take you inside any change room, or anyone that I've been in, is we're winning the league. Because if you go, let's stay up. It's like, well, what are we going to do here? Fighting against ourselves already. So that was all. And look, you Sheffield Wednesday, like, if you're not saying someone, I'm going to win the league, at that point, people are like, you do know who you play for, don't you? Like, and this is no slight to other clubs. It's just shit. Welcome to Sheffield Wednesday. And here's a boo to go with it. Boo!
the boo's part of the signing on fee, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you get that for free, like, you know what I mean? From both sets of fans.
5,000 boos if you want.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. So, like, you know, we went on that on that run, broke a load of records and stuff like that. And then you mentioned games against Lincoln and Cheltenham, where it was starting to turn a little bit. And like you said, Darren Moore kind of dropped you in to take a few of those pelters. And, you know, that Cheltenham game, had Dennis Adenner not smashed it against the Beans on toast, it'd have been a different story, right? You know what I mean? It'd have come back from 2-0 down, torrid rain, and Sheffield Wednesday have dug deep. But, you know, it ended up 2-2, and we kind of lost a lot of buffers around that area and stuff like that. So the mood in the dressing room around there, I bet Barry was doing his nut, wasn't he?
Yeah. Barry was doing his nut. If we win 5-0 and you didn't give him a perfect pass. But that's not a dig, that's a perfection.
Because he's a winner.
Yeah. I know how to deal with that. And that game, when I came out and did it, it got quite emotional, and it wasn't meant to be like that. I said to the lads, like, this could be my last season playing football. I'm not letting it go to shit. My son was crying at Wembley last year because his dad was shit at Wembley. So I'm not letting this happen this year. Like, this ain't going down. And, like, people kind of said, oh. And then I said it in the thing, and everyone was like, oh, it actually means something. And I'm like, why would it not mean something? And I think that's where people just thought, you know what? Like, we should fucking go for it. And it was topsy-turvy, but we had some great nights. And those are the points where you have to... I always got taught that if you don't show vulnerability to people, you can't become a leader.
No.
Because once they see you're vulnerable, they're okay being vulnerable.
Yeah.
So it's about saying, I've been there, I've been vulnerable, but look at me now. Like, I've come through it, I've done this. And saying that night, look, yeah, sorry, my fault, or... yeah, I made this mistake. Everyone, like, we could have won 3-0 or 3-1, and I made a mistake. And everyone goes, yeah, but we'd have won. We might not have won if I don't make that save. Everyone's talking about you. They're not talking about someone who missed a chance up the other end that's 19 or that kind of thing. And I just go, okay, no worries. I'm still going home to go to sleep.
Holly.
What?
What have I got to my throat?
No, that's it. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put an advert in there. I'm going to...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later. Lee, have you got a question?
She's crying, it's fine.
Thanks a lot, yeah. Thanks for bringing all that emotion back up of the of that Cheltenham game.
I've got a question. I've got a question. You know, we're talking about this run, and I want to go to the 96 points, because 96 points is fucking ridiculous, by the way. The run that we went on, 23 games unbeaten, 96 points. Any other year, we pissed that league. And I genuinely believe that at times we were comfortably the best team in the league last year. But every time, as a fan, you're walking out of Hillsborough, every time you pick your phone up or every time you get to the end of the game, you get a bit of signal on the south where I sit and what have you. You're looking at the Plymouth results. You're looking at the Ipswich results. You're looking at everything else that's going on. How mental was it? How did you find it that you're on that run and then you have literally a 2-3 week sort of dip, and then you're playing catch up with Plymouth and Ipswich because of the run that they were going on? Was there ever a point where you were like just fucking pulling your hair out and so forth? Did you ever worry about what was going on with other teams, or was it just, we'll worry about us and we'll do what we'll do? What was the feeling?
It was funny because at the start of the season, I was like, 90 points, lads, that'll do us. Got to 90 points, and lads was looking at me going, you should fucking 90 points. 99 then. But it was very much, we had a meeting at one point, and I think there was about five games left. And we all just said, you know what? Fuck it. If we win our remaining four, we're getting to 96. And I was like, that'll be well enough. So it was one of them, like, end of season, all lads are looking at me. Got another fucking 3 weeks because of you, man.
No holidays. Marbella's got to wait now till late May.
So did the players check the table or did they just leave it to...
Yeah, we did. Everyone does it. Everyone does it. I don't care. That, for me, I always say, wait till March. Don't really care what it says. You have a look, but you don't really analyse it. For me, it's March. You know whether you're in it, where you need to be, mentality. It was always March for me. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm a time waster and it took me that long to get to the league table. we had 20 games to play by the time we got to March. So we were only playing up over 100 minutes five times at Wickham. But no, March, I was the one. But yeah, you always look because, look, hats off to Plymouth and Ipswich, by the way, because that was some league. And I think what Sky said was, I tell you what, we'll put Sheffield Wednesday in playoffs because something will happen.
Oh, God.
And it did happen, by the way. It happened, didn't it?
The script came through, did it? And they've gone, I tell you what, listen here, lads. You know what I mean? We've got to...
I want to be about that. Yeah, fuck 99 points. We're looking at 96.
Well, I tell you what. So, you know, let's we've done the run. We've got over it. And then... I tell you what, I'll come back to that one. I want to talk. No, let's do that one. Was it? This is Tommy on Twitter. Was it Darren Moore who inspired the miracle of Hillsborough, or was it the dressing room, or both? And then we'll go to another question in a bit.
If so, you say 80% Darren Moore, 20% the dressing room, but then you flip that when the game starts. Mm-hmm. If you understand?
Did he genuinely believe? I mean, bear in mind, right, a couple of unfortunate errors from Dawson on that day as well. I mean, his confidence must have been on his ass. And then to put him back in the sticks at Hillsborough, fair play. You know what I mean? Managed to make some decent stops and you know, definitely a part of that 5-1 win that we did. Did Darren genuinely believe that we could overturn that deficit?
100%. Like, you couldn't even, like... We were going... I was shouting stuff in training going, let's just go full Wickham. Let's play like seven strikers and we'll just boom it long all game. We're meant to score. We've got to score. And that was just floating stuff about. And I was like, let's just fucking bang it. Like, yeah. Let's just go for it like all out, gung-ho. How can they attack if there's eight lads up the pitch? And then we had loads of meetings and it was all basically showing the greatest comebacks. The Barcelona's when they did it, and Liverpool the final, and it was slowly just mentally getting you used to it being normal. Mm-hmm. And we practiced penalties for a whole week. Everyone took two penalties each. We had crowd noise on, and I'm like, Gaffer, I love what you're doing, but if we score four goals, we ain't not scoring another. Which turned out to be true, but we let them in. My thought was like, this is never going to penalties because if we're scoring four goals, we're just going to trounce it. This could be six.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you're right.
I mean, you're not going to stop scoring goals, are you? Like, you know what I mean? But like when they got that one back, I mean, Hillsborough for 30 seconds went flat as a witch's tit, and then all of a sudden it erupted back in again. I'm going to try and get you to blow some smoke up the fans' arse here a little bit, but does it help? I mean, because, you know, we've had players on before talk about when it's toxic at Hillsborough and the crowd can get on your back a little bit, and we touched upon it with Cameron Dawson a little bit. But when they're behind you and when they're up, does it genuinely help, or does it put you a bit on edge, or do you feel like 100%. You're bulletproof?
Like, that night, the whole thing really, it even shows a contrast of people at Peterborough. And like looking back, you go, oh, why were you being like that at Peterborough away? I'd be like that. We were like that on the bus.
It was the worst thing ever.
Well, it wasn't now, because now we know what happened.
All part
and
of the
master
plan.
It was the best thing ever to give you the best ending ever.
Well, you can't argue with that.
I nearly really did a bad analysation there, but it's not for, it's too censored my analysation for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, you started with bad and you had a happy ending. Listen, you think for yourself what I said.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going. We were trying to think of a better name than the Miracle of Hillsborough, so we will just go with Stag Do at Bangkok or something like that. You know what I mean? Because that's more fun, isn't it? You know what I mean?
You're speaking from experience, aren't you?
Listen, I was young. I need the money. Stevie, get me out of this hole quick.
What, you being younger needing the money?
Never mind.
You were talking about the fans.
The fans. Yeah, the fans.
Sorry, yeah. I don't know where we went from happy endings to fans. Look, shit happens. It's massive. Like, it's just one of them things. And I was actually talking when I did the Blackburn Chef game, mm-hmm. Sheffield Wednesday, sorry. By the way, I got told off for that.
So you should.
Yeah. Someone said, by the way, it's not Chef. But I was trying to be quick in my question because the man behind the camera going, I said, I'm time wasting. But yeah, I was talking to them and he was like, the guy was saying, I remember being at the game. I think it was Michelle Owen saying she might have been at the game, the Sunderland Wednesday game, the semi-final. And she said, oh my God, it was the maddest place ever when they scored.
Yeah.
And people feel it, you know, it's like, you don't feel it fully until you're in that pitch. You know what I mean? Because even as a fan, you're around people, you think, oh, yeah, it's great looking out. But in that moment, when someone's hugging you and you can't feel your face because the scarf's in it or a sweaty armpit, we're all there looking around. You know, it's hard to tell you. So it's like, oh, my God. But then when you're getting pelters, you're like, where's the fire alarm? Like, yeah. Literally, like, do you think we can force them out of here or something? But you've got to be able to take good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
How does that atmosphere and that sort of experience, and I'm fanboying a bit here and hoping that I get a decent answer, how does that experience for you, who's played at the top level, how does that compare? You know, as Wednesday fans, we believe that we are, you know, a phenomenal fan base, but, you know, everybody else does. But what's it like in comparison to some of the other teams that you've played for?
It's so, like, well, let's just say let's go back to the Chef Wednesday Brighton semi-final.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it vividly. And I remember when you scored the second goal and I was thinking, oh, my God, hellfire's raining down here. We went down to 9 men. So we was thinking, I remember saying to the lads, if we keep it at 2-0, yeah, it's like a win. And then we rained hellfire on you down at our place. I think we hit the bar twice, paused it.
Yeah.
Look, it was what it was, and you went through. But what it was is, like, we was thinking, again, I think a time wasted there, because it was literally like we could get slaughtered. But if we just hold on, lads, hold on for 2-0, we might have a chance. So we knew it. And even when, like, we used to say, we were Wickham, coming to play you. I think we beat you Wickham at Hillsborough. I can't remember. The year we went up in the playoffs.
I think it was 1-0, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it 1-0? 2-1. 2-1, I think. Mate,
I've had a beer since then, bro. Fucking hell. I've still got hangover from the Miracle of Hillsborough.
I might have as well. but anyway, what it was is, we would say, if we get on top of them, the crowd will kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I used to try and say, look, stick with us, like, honestly, because it could turn the other way if we don't. And that's just what people might say. But they also say, if you let the crowd get behind them, you're on an uphill struggle. And that's what you're trying to say to fans, please, please let us start well.
Because that second leg against Peterborough, I kept saying to Blair, who does the show as well, I was sat next to him saying, if we get one in this first 10 minutes, we're going to absolutely rinse them. Because we'd have come out of traps anyway because of the deficit to overturn. And when Smudge got that penalty after, 8 minutes, there was part of me that was like, well, we've done this now.
It, So we was like all out, 10 minutes, all out. Like there's plenty more time, but 10 minutes, even if we went all out and the court went on break, you've still got some time. Mm-hmm. And we scored and it was like, you could see Smudger. Like nobody like celebrated. Get back there. We're going to get an up. Gregor's, have you seen anyone ever in the 20th minute going to grab the ball off the keeper?
Yeah, he had a tear up in the back of the net, didn't he?
People miss these moments where when you look back, you're thinking, that was written for us.
Yeah.
Like absolutely. When we went, they scored. And how Pato finished that was like he was having a walk in the park. Like
yeah.
How
yeah.
Old Baz was and Marv to do that in the 95th minute and not one of them had a shot.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You've got the big headband at the back post. You know what I mean? It's like Flint is at the back post. Hang on a minute. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's little things that people, when you're in the heat of the moment, and then I nearly ripped my hamstring trying to run down the wing.
To get in that pylon.
Yeah, yeah. I still been naked. Someone hugged me and were like, stupid fan, get out of my way. What's your time? Get over there.
Go on, Stevie.
So just from there, just to finish off last season, there to Wembley, what was that period like between Miracle of Hillsborough to prep for Wembley, build up, playing the local rivals, expectation? How did you prepare for it?
So we basically had, it was that night where we just went for a few drinks. And do you know when we sat there having a few drinks, it was relief. Like, what have we actually just done there? And it wasn't a celebration. It was literally just me and Baz looking at each other. It was like, what the fuck just happened? And you do know we're going through. And it was like just chatting like that. You could feel everyone going, well, we can't fuck you up now. Like, after all that, if we fuck this, like, we might as well just pack our bags and go. Like, we're going to get pelted here. So it was like.
And equally, Barnsley were thinking, oh shit, look what they've just done. So
yeah, I think that was it. Like, and then we're thinking, what happened earlier in the season at Barnsley? Their fans are like, you don't read stuff, but you know that they're on an upward curve, like, because they've just won as well. It was just one of them where I just think, and then. Do you know another thing? Like, we've sold 46,000 here. Whereas when I was at Wickham, it was like the other way around. He's like, fuck, get that number here. Like,
yeah.
Wickham haven't got a following like a Sunderland or a Sheffield Wednesday. We was thinking, it's 50,000 of them and 30,000 of us. It's not going to come through the crowd. Whereas it was weird. So it was the year after, I'm thinking, oh, I'm on this side now. And that was the year where again the ends, so like we won it in COVID in 2020 at Wembley, so there was no actual end, and it was the other dressing room, and I'm thinking, fuck, I'm getting a bit superstition here. I was trying to do all the things at Wembley. Like, we went for a little walk, me, Dennis and a couple of us, we went for a walk, said fuck it, let's go, and I had the bucket hat on. And people are like looking at me, and it's like, I've got a full Sheffield Wednesday tracksuit on. I'm stood with Dennis and Henry. And how do you not know who this is?
just some kit guy.
It was just so much like, it was nice to go out and make that walk before. And I was like, I was just saying silly stuff like, this is us tomorrow when it lights up blue. Mm-hmm. And I've actually got a picture after of it lining up blue and me stood there. It's just nice things. Like, my son was crying the year before. And the reason the picture came about, you know, me and Barry Bannon, where I picked him up.
Yeah.
Because the night before, like, he was like, Billy was crying last year. Like, we can't let that happen again. I was like, oh, forget about him. I'll get over it. Don't worry about that. So when I ran on, I was like, you've done it. He went, go and tell Billy. So I picked him up like a bloody trophy. And it was, like, his wife texted when I put it up. I was like, she said, this is an epic photograph. But you don't think about it at the time. Like, and that was it. I just turned around to try and find my son. I said, what are you doing? You're crying again. He was like, yeah, but we won this time. Because I made him, like, he was 10, and I made him watch Sunderland lift a trophy. And he said, why do you do that? It's because it makes you want it more. Mm-hmm. Like, and when you do win it, like, yeah. Special. It was, I said it at John, it's a great learning curve. As a dad, when I was hurting, being able to do that made it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And then they bring it out on Netflix, which makes it a lot harder.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine having a full-on professional camera crew documenting your demise must be absolute banter for you to watch back, Stocks, isn't it?
Fuck,
I don't want to watch that. Yeah, you know, I'd rather watch. Yeah, we'll fast forward that. Even though it's probably the culmination of the entire series is probably the last episode, isn't it? I tell you what it is. So we've got we've talked about Cam Dawson a bit. Do you remember both Ross Wallace goals at Hillsborough in the semi-final playoff was from Harry?
Harry?
He's texted us in and said, do you remember Ross Wallace scoring?
Not to do one. I'm not answering that. Why is he bringing that up?
I don't know. I think
I'm only joking. Do you know what? I only remember the one because I thought I should have said that. The one where he's cutting from the right. But we went through it after, and I thought I should have saved it.
Didn't Gary Hooper bosh your defender out the way?
That was at our place where he pushed Lewis Dunn.
Oh, is that not the one you mean?
I remember he's all right for an old fella, isn't it?
Yeah, does all right. So I've got this other one here from the interwebs. It's a bit of a profound one. This is from Jez. He said, if he could play in any game again in his career, which one would it be? Obviously, it doesn't have to be for Sheffield Wednesday, but if there's one that sticks out that you think, do you know what? That was the one. That was preferably the one you played in, because obviously it's easy to go down recent history and talk about, you know, being around the team with Peterborough and Wembley and whatnot. But
if I had to go back to one and relive the moment, because I didn't, you know, when people say you've got to take it in. So I was stood in the circle at Wembley. Mm-hmm. People have got fours of me, like just stood there while people are celebrating. I said, I promised myself, if this is the last one, I'm going to take it in.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to when I played Fulham and I saved the penalty against Manchester United.
Yeah.
I can't remember it that well, because it was like, it's Premier League, it's the norm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I remember certain things, like I was a bit like when Sir Alex Ferguson said, well done. What he was like, I didn't take like everything that happened after in, because it was like, right, get your own on it, next one, like so like regimented.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a step back. So it's a double-edged sword why I'd go back, because obviously I saved a penalty against Nani and it was against Manchester United, so family were happy about that. and we picked up a point at home against the champions. So, like, things like that. But then I hate to say it, the double save against Sheffield Wednesday. Like, probably one of the great, like, goalkeepers dream of doing stuff like that. And I did it. And even after the fact, and people are tweeting, messaging me, I literally went, like, as if to say, that happened, and everything that surrounded it, and it just seemed to be forestieri. Everything he did, I just saved. It was so happened with Chef Wednesday, but those are the two kind of things where it just got, oh wow,
yeah, that you've actually took in and you've actually remembered. I tell you what it is, I'm just worried about time, so I'm gonna pass over to my colleague Stevie. Well, yeah, I've got shit to do. I've got air fryer on.
I've just seen you with a wine in your hand.
I tell you what it is, I've run out of wine stockers. That's what it is.
Tell you what, you get yourself a wine and we'll have another hour.
Yeah, you just talk amongst yourselves, lads. I'm going to get me sent a top up. I'll talk to you in a bit.
Yeah, go all for right. it. He is genuinely going to go and get a wine as well, by the way.
Yeah.
right, bring it back to Wembley for me then, mate. What were the celebrations like after? That night, that Sunday, coming out of Wembley, we've seen
he's,
all the.
He's got no recollection of this. There's nothing there.
I think just for me, just for me, you know, I'm going to bring him up because for people that listen to the podcast, you know, I'm a massive Liam Palmer fan. I think he's absolute salt of the earth. I think he's just top draw. Yeah, yeah. Absolute fanboy. Yeah.
I'm the same.
If you could give him my number, tell him that restraining order is absolutely fine. but you see, there's the iconic images of Bannon replicating the Lee Bullen image from years before. You and him, Darren Moore sat on the coach with the trophy. And, you know, as fans, we've got all those sort of images that we sort of have and live with now. What was it like being inside that?
The relief. Like when we got, it's different. Like you've got the celebrating with the fans and on the thing, but when you get back in the change room, you're trying to find where the nearest beer is. And I'm trying to find out where everyone is, and because everyone's like all over the place, and you're like, where is everyone? Then we'll all you see is like Will doing the worm across the room, and it's like, is this surreal or is this actually happening? But I always had a picture with a cigar in my mouth at the promotions. It was like a superstition. And a couple of the lads, I bought them and I said, oh, it's good luck. And we just all had cigars in his mouth. And I got halfway out of the change room and I started lighting it up. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, oh. It was just one of them, like, so surreal. And then we went upstairs to the lounge, and it was weird because I was going upstairs, and all of a sudden I had the trophy, and I was like, how have I ended up with the trophy? It was just sat there, like, I'll take it upstairs then.
I've gone upstairs,
and it just reminded me of last year when I've gone upstairs, and all of a sudden the lads are up there. And it was like, ha, ha, ha. Like, and you see, like, Pierce was there and a few lads that had come up, the young lads, so it was good to see them, families, and you're like, whatever. And it's like, get me another drink. I was thinking, how many drinks can I have here? Mm-hmm. And then in the end, me and Aidan Flint are on a golf buggy getting a lift around underground Wembley. He's got a match ball in his hand. We're not scoring that. He's got a match ball in his hand. We're taking photos of his medals and that. And it's brilliant because I sent him that when he got promoted this time. I said, you got to relive it. And I was half thinking, can I get to Mansfield to get steaming with Aidan Flint?
Yeah.
And it's things like that. And that they're the bonds, like, and me, him, Josh Windass. And I actually said, I'm walking down Wembley Way to a hotel. And it was like everyone's gone back to Sheffield for a party. I was like, where the fuck is everyone? And there's a couple of like young lads and stuff and lasses that noticed them and was like, is that? And I was like, and then they ran over and he was like, oh my God, have we got this picture? And it was just a nice feeling to walk down Wembley Way back to the hotel, seeing the blue behind us and thinking, I need a drink. And then we had a private gathering with friends and family up there.
Amazing. Amazing.
So you briefly mentioned superstitions then. I single-handedly got us out of a slump earlier this season by eating a family-sized trifle every week.
Well done. and we still thank you for that, H.
Thankfully, we didn't eat that every week.
It got us from 24th to 23rd.
It got me.
How many trifles are you having this week?
Pardon?
How many trifles are you having this week?
She's got a swimming pool stocker. She's going to dive into it. You know, like Scrooge McDuck. You know what I mean? You just try and eat your way out of it.
That's it. Willy Wonka the Third.
Yeah.
But anyway, do you have any normal superstitions that you do every week rather than just like for big games? Is there anything that you would normally do? Lucky underpants.
Left sock, left glove, left shin pad first.
That's unhinged. What
is that? Again? Everything on one side first. That's insane.
No. So you can only put like one set on. So shin pads, my left would go on first, then my left sock, then my right shin pad, right sock.
I thought he was trying to put stuff on with one glove on.
Hang on a minute. Put my left glove on. Oh, shit, I've got to put my right socks on with a glove. With a one hand like. The superstitions
every week, Barry Banner's got to do them.
Yeah, yeah. Lance, come and put this sock on for us, kid.
Yeah, I've got a claw here and I'm strapped in. I can't do it, Baz.
Oh, I've got this on. Oh, shit, forgot the boot.
Somebody come and tie me laces here. Stocker's put his glove on first again. Bloody hell, Stocker's
here. That's what you say, Baz. Don't tie him really tight because I'm doing to waste time later.
Yeah, just a single bow, Baz. Just a single bow. Listen, just to wrap this up, I'm going to go through a couple of bits here. So these are just the last comments that came from the people. So we've got... being child of the 90s, Carl Wilbys, what's your favourite MD 2020 flavour?
You know what? I don't know if it was because it was my third or fourth bottle, but the orange one kicked me a little bit, you know, at the end.
Orange one was elite. It got me through many a cold night on Anston Park. This one here is from On Mead FC. Do you want to come and have a game with us every other Thursday at Wickersley Comprehensive? Next game's tomorrow. Don't know if you're free. On Mead FC are looking for a keeper.
Do you know
what? No.
I'm going to say no.
Stevie can be my non-league agent if you want.
Yeah. It does depend how much they're paying. Now,
it will be time waste for a full 99 minutes.
Right, it depends where they are in the league, doesn't it? If they've got second in the league and they're top and a nil-nil will do them, Stocker's your geezer, I'd chuck some money at it, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, can we get anything on Betfred and that?
Now, this one here, and I've got a few visual aids on this one. So the comment that came in was from Liam Henderson saying, does he still think the cowboy hat was a good look? And I've got that as a visual aid here. There's the cowboy hat there. Big fan of that, Stocks. Big fan of that. Nice to see you in outfield shirt as well. I don't know why, but I found it quite, you know, quite reassuring that a guy that's got the same physique as me can actually fit into one of them, and that's what made me buy one this season. But then it did remind me of a few things. So what I did was mock it up to see what you'd look like if you were doing your own country and western album. So here you are as Garth Brooks. There you are. Look, cowboy hat. Does you a solid.
That could be a thing.
So for some reason, it's done a lot for your complexion as well. You haven't got the red cheeks after that. Or you can be Willie Nelson as a sketch there. Not a great look for you, the long hair. So if you're planning on
it's got to be one here that I'm nicking for my Instagram.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe my LinkedIn for.
Well, I tell you what, if this next one doesn't send you viral, then I don't know what is, because this one's a number one country album and Billboard number one. There you are as Beyonce in Cowboy Carter.
He didn't actually photoshop his bum onto it as well.
Well, I wanted to go the full hog on it, so...
to be fair, you know. I look decent, you know.
Yeah, I tell you what, that one there, mate. Wood. Is the
he's having it, he's absolutely having it.
Look that back up a second.
Yeah, what the Beyonce one there.
That could be a good look for you.
Yeah, I'll send them to you, Stocko. You can have them, mate.
I'll tell you what, screensaver, yeah, not screensaver, gone from that.
Yeah, yeah,
let's see if we can get it on. Where is it?
Oh, we'll sort it out. Listen,
You wait there.
I'll have some wine in the interim. I'll have a swig. But listen, while David sorted out his backdrop, it gives me a bit of time to tell you about the raffle that we have up and running, where you can win two tickets to the Legends game. Is it not the Legends game, Stevie? What is it to? It's the Legends dinner. Is that right?
There's a Legends dinner. You've dropped me on the spot. Peacock's there. He's done it. There you go.
Managed
that is absolutely spectacular.
I'll change that to my screensaver as well.
Actually. I will send you the original stock so you can have it on there properly, mate. It's been
an. Original. I am the original. Look at that ass,
mate. It's stunning. I don't know whether to say hello or.
Look,
I don't know whether to say hello or park my bike or get the butter out. I don't know.
Jesus
Christ. I don't know how to go into this, but I did have a question for you.
Go on, H.
Well, not really a question, but it's been a year since the Women's Supporters Group came about, and you are an ambassador for that. So I just wanted to ask you about that, how that came about.
Am I a fully fledged member now?
That's the unicorn.
There you go. If I don't see you in that next time, well, I'll be in it. You know what I mean? Listen. Where's the cowboy at the civic reception? Like, what are you doing? It's actually okay. Like, it's one of them.
I think you rock it, mate. I think you rock it. But tell us about the Women's Supporters Group and the work you've done for them. Yeah, go on, let's get into that.
They got in touch to give me about 100 grand to do it. So I'm only joking. No, like my daughter, a funny story, like she likes Lee Williamson. And it just happened on our Christmas party that Arsenal ladies were in the same place. Mm-hmm. I ended up talking to her and saying, you know, my daughter loves you. And she was like, that's the weirdest thing a man's come up to me and said. I was like,
that can't be the weirdest thing a man's come up to me.
Yeah. My next line was,
you 1 hour later.
We can go there if you're likely. I may have had a couple of MDs, you know what I mean? But no, she did a video for my daughter. And look, she loves watching footy. And she always comes now and like, always comes with me, like even when I'm watching a game, I was looking at players or whatever. She'd be like, "Oh, what about that one there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that we're looking for a striker. That's the goalie." But anyway, she's not that bad. She just likes to be in that environment, and I think it's a great way of showing people that you can go. Everyone gets enjoyment. It doesn't matter who, a child, man, woman, whatever. You get enjoyment. I never got to take my son to a football game until he was 4 or 5 because I was playing. People forget that. Yeah. Then she wanted to come and it was like, so now I won't say who we go and watch, but we have to take it in turns. Because, yeah, Holly.
Don't say it.
But like the game that I came to Sheffield Wednesday to watch, they came with me. Do you know what I mean? It was like, it's always a nice thing. And it don't matter if it's my son or my daughter, I'd still get the same thing. And that's why I think how it should be. And that's why I supported the group.
Amazing.
It's the best group. It's the best group.
She's queen now. There you are. I hope you're going to wear that Beyonce outfit, mate.
I was just about to get it up there.
Right, listen, I'm gonna knock this off. Stocks, thanks a lot. I'm gonna stop recording now. Stay on the line after and see you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the Talk Sport Fan Network. Talk Sport, powered by fans.
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flynn wins the
goal! It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Oh, my word!
The Wednesday win!
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Ultimate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.